Guan. Dogen wrote, practice is identical with expression and vice versa. To express the way all day is to practice the way all day. In other words, we practice something impracticable and express something inexpressible. Each day's life should be esteemed. The body should be respected. So if we can really get the Buddhist function, even in a day, such a single day can be said to be more valuable than countless idle lives. Therefore, before we have realized the way, we must not idle away even a single day. Such a single day is too precious a treasure to be compared with a fine jewel. Ancient wise persons held it dearer than their body and life. We must think quietly that a fine jewel and a rare gem, though lost, may be acquired again, but that a single day in 100 years of life, once lost, never returns. No matter how skillful we may be, it is impossible to bring back even a single day of the past. No history book says that it is possible. Why does time deprive us of our training, daily and lifelong? Why has time a grudge against us? It is, unfortunately, because we have ever neglected our practice. Without looking forward to tomorrow, every moment, you must think only of this day and this hour. Because tomorrow is difficult and unfixed and difficult to know, you must think of following the way while you live today. You must concentrate on Zen practice without wasting time, thinking that there is only this day and this hour. After that, it becomes truly easy. You must forget about the good and the bad of your nature, the strength or weakness of your power.
Manisa. Before I start talking about dosing, I have to make few statements. One is about Zen master Niskriya. He had fallen so low in the West that yesterday I called him a skinhead rather than a stonehead. And he had come with perfectly dressed like a Zen master. Today he is not wearing it. It does not matter, even if you become a skinhead, back here you are again Sekito, the Zen master is stonehead. So cut your hairs and put on your Zen master's dress with your staff. It may be needed any time. I have been missing you so long. There was nobody here to hit people. And you should not do such a thing. growing is skin, hairs on a stone head, be ashamed of yourself. In Germany, nobody may have noticed it, but here, everybody will notice what happened to the Zen master Sekito. He got last breath. Everybody gets last. And particularly back in Germany, we're real idiots. Very authentic idiots live. He fell from his heights of being a Zen master into a skinhead. Just save your head and be your own self with your Zen stick and Zen master's robe. You are still a Buddha. It does not matter that you travel to Germany. Your Buddha nature is intact. That has been our whole discussion on Dzogchen Sutras. You can even go to Germany, even become a member of German parliament. Still you will be a Buddha. You cannot fall more than that. And second to Zarin. She has been moving around the ashram the whole day in her robe to prove the fact that, yes, she looks like a balloon. I was hoping that she will have courage enough to come here. She has come again here with sari. A balloon is beautiful. Just all you need is to make few windows here and there to look who is inside. She is a great woman, and that's why she was not afraid the whole day. Everybody was talking about the balloon. I'm sitting in my room, listening all kinds of gossips that she is coming in balloon, and here I see she is sitting in her usual dress, looking so beautiful. Sari has a magic. And the people who discovered sari must have been very aesthetic about it. They wanted their women to look like Khajuraho statues. Round, full. The idea in the West arose with women's liberation that the woman has to look like man. She has to wear pants. But it proves a strange fact about psychology, that because of her dress, she started losing her curves that she always had in the past, even in the West. She started becoming a straight line, flat. Looking at a Western woman with a full pant, in a shirt, with a cigarette in the hand, you have for a moment to think whether she is a woman or a man. That kind of confusion never arises in the East. A woman is a woman, a man is a man. And the woman has not to imitate men, otherwise she will destroy herself. She has to be herself. She is not inferior, she is simply different. The liberation movement emphasizes on the wrong point. There is no question of equality. You don't ask equality between two different things. A woman has his own uniqueness. She has not to imitate man. And by imitation, remember, you will only a second-rate man. You will not be even a woman. The sari gives a certain freedom to the Indian woman to grow curves. She is more explorable. In the Western woman, what you are going to explore? She is just as she looks with the clothes. But the Indian woman is totally different. You are going to be surprised. She has something interesting hidden behind the sari. It is a great invention. But don't imitate, because then you look very weird. Just think of Zareen in a full pant. With his shirt, and she will become the most weird animal around. Right now she is so beautiful, but there is always a desire to be in other people's dresses, in other people's lifestyles, and one does not know that this is the way how one is lost and forgets the way home. Never for a single moment be imitative. Just be yourself. And not only be yourself, Dzogchen says, respect yourself. respect your body. These are the beautiful things that Zen has brought into the history of mankind, particularly in the history of consciousness. Dogen wrote, practice is identical with expression. And vice versa. He is talking about an authentic man. What in Zen language is called the original man. His practice is identical with his expression. There is not two persons in him. There is only a single individuality. Silent, it is the same in expression, in manifestation, in any possible way, it is still the same. Raising my hand, I am as much a Buddha as without raising it. Practice is identical with expression and vice versa, but that is not true about the man that has come to exist in this contemporary world. He says something, he thinks something, he desires something, he really wants something else. He is simply a confusion. The modern man is a confused Buddha. He does not know exactly that to be one, he has to drop many masks. All those masks are to deceive people, to create a certain respectability, a reputation, but deep down you are dishonest. There is nothing wrong in being dishonest, but then express it and be clear that I am not an honest man, don't rely on me. And you will feel a certain freedom that you have never known. When your expression and your being are one, you have the whole sky as your freedom. Otherwise, one is tied down to his lies. It is said about George Gurdjieff to explain to his disciples, he has developed a certain technique. He could laugh with half of his face and he could be sad at the same time with the other half. It is very difficult. I don't know how he managed it. But he has lived with very ancient tribes in Turkestan, in Soviet Union's very backward parts, where people are still as primitive as you can conceive. His father died early, so he had to live with one tribe, then another tribe. And he was only 9 years, but he started learning, because those tribes steal, those tribes play music, those tribes play magic, those tribes heal people. They are moving people. They don't have houses, stability. They enjoy traveling. They are vagabonds. But this he turned into a great opportunity to learn all their tricks. And one of their tricks was that they could manage to divide their face into. And while teaching to his students, once in a while he will do that trick. Somebody is sitting by his right side and somebody on his left side. And on one side he will look very angry, and on another side very loving and peaceful. And they both report to each other what is the matter. One says that he is very loving and very peaceful, and the other says, peaceful? He looks very dangerous, violent, murderous. He looked at me with such an eye that I am not going to forget for months. When reported to him, he will say, this is what I want you to understand. The modern man has many faces, and you should watch. When you meet your wife and you say, darling, do you really mean? My sweetheart, do you really mean? And when you are saying those words, you are remembering some other woman. Unfortunately, you have to say these words to the woman whom you want to kill. But you are not courageous enough either. When you see at your servant, have you the same face as when you see your boss? Just watch the changes of your faces. You are not a single unity integrated. Whether clouds come and go, whether clouds are white or black, does not matter. The moon remains shining the same. The clouds come and go. They don't leave any scratches on the moon. But every cloud that means every mask that you wear leaves its marks on you. So I have seen people laughing, but I see that they are almost at the point of weeping. They are hiding their tears by a fake smile. And people are doing the vice versa also. I used to live with one of my relatives. A far away relative of my relative had come for treatment of his wife. The wife died. And naturally, my relatives had to show all kinds of mourning . They were not at all concerned with it. In fact, they were happy that she is gone, because with her the whole family was suffering unnecessarily. And the moment she died, her husband went back to his city. But people used to come to the house. It is just a conformity, a social pattern to show your sympathy. So the woman of the house was in a trouble, because when you don't have any tears, it is very difficult. And in the day it may happen 10 times. And I used to stay out in the garden. She told me that you keep here with you a bell. I said, for what? He said, whenever somebody comes, you just give the bell. So I will pull my ghungat and start crying. It will be false, but what else to do? That sari has that great quality also. You can pull your ghungat. Inside you may not be crying, but you can pretend to be in immense sadness and misery. I said, this is a great strategy. But beware of me. He said, what do you mean? I said, I can ring the bell at the wrong person. She said, no, you should not do. I'm harassed, tortured for months taking care of that woman who was far away, but in India, far away relatives are also relatives. Sometimes one does not know that in what way you are a relative. But you have to take care of them if they proclaim they are some cousin of your cousins. I said, don't be worried. She used to remain inside the house So whenever somebody came, I simply gave her the bell and she will immediately pull her ghungat. There is no word for ghungat in English because it is part of the sari. But you all understand what it is. It means pulling your tent a little down so that your face is hidden. So nobody can see what actually is happening on your face. And you can pretend anything. So few days I managed it. One day her husband came and I gave the bell. That was so hilarious that even today I cannot forget. Because she pulled her tent down and started weeping as if somebody died. The husband said, "Has somebody died again?" And she looked through the ghungat and seeing that it is her husband, she said, "No, it is. I knew that sometime he is going to deceive me, but I have never thought that he will shock you. Where he is?" They both came out and she asked that this is not good. My husband is not coming in the house to sympathize or to mourn. I said he looked so sad that I thought that somebody must have died. And it is better to make you aware that your husband is looking very sad. This is not the moment to desire a loving word. This is a moment to weep and cry with him. The husband said, "What do you mean? I was looking sad." I said, "Now, don't invoke me, because by nature your face is such that it seems somebody has died." I don't say it because what is the point? You are not responsible. This is the face you have got. He said, "Really, I look so sad?" I said, "You can ask anybody. I can bring few witnesses from the neighborhood. Everybody knows that you are very sad and very serious and worried. He said, "No need to bring the neighbors," because he knew, "I will convince few people. I will try my face better. I will try once in a while to laugh, a smile." I said to him, "It is not a question of trying. In the first place, you save your mustache, because a strange mustache you have, that makes you look like a clown. He said, you live in my house. And you always create trouble. Now I love my mustache, I cannot save it. I said, it is up to you, but this is what makes your face look so sad. Get some false mustache, glue it whenever you want. Mustache, but this mustache won't do. He has certainly a mustache drooping all over the face. But everybody is having different kind of faces, and it has become almost an autonomous process. They don't have a face. But everybody is having different kind of faces, and it has become almost an autonomous process. They don't have to change. Just you see a man walking with his wife, and you know whom he is walking. You don't have to inquire that, are you married? And look him with his girlfriend, and you don't have to inquire again. Just their faces will show freedom, joy, momentary, but even a momentary phenomenon makes them happy. Changes their faces. A seeker, according to Dzogchen, has to remember his integrity. In every situation, his practice and his expression should be identical. To express the way all day is to practice the way all day. To express the way all day I have told you, you are all Buddhas. Reluctantly you accept it. Deep down you know who you are. Somebody is a doctor, somebody is an attorney, somebody is a rickshawala. And a Buddha pulling a rickshaw? My God, this has never happened. But because I am saying, and you love me, and you trust me, so you say, okay. Right now, at least, inside the Buddha hall, anyway you will not be allowed to bring your riksha or your rented bicycle. What is the harm to be a Buddha? But once out of the hall, you start thinking second thoughts, that where are you going? You are a Buddha. And what are you doing? Smoking a cigarette? Now just think, a Buddha is smoking a cigarette? Inconceivable. If you want to know your essential self, you have to express it all the way, all the day, in every smallest expression. It does not matter, even if you are pulling a riksha, you can pull the riksha with deep compassion, love, with respect to the passenger, with care about other people in the traffic. I am making Buddhahood simple and at the same time very complicated. It is very easy to sit under a Bodhi tree in a lotus posture and declare to the world that I am a Buddha. The real thing is when you are sitting by the side of your wife, constantly afraid that one never knows when she will start nagging, when the day before I was telling you the story about nag. Mia Farooq was pulling Zarin Sari, which each nag reminding her, just know what you have been doing all your life. He is very unique child. It is unfortunate that he is missing for these 2 days. Otherwise, he would have enjoyed. When in a story the son said to Mikhail Gorbachev, now I'm in the West, fuck you. He rolled down on the ground. He understood that this is great. And when I was telling a story about an advocate, that he is a lion in the house, even before I could say, I heard him saying silently that in the home he is rats. But every husband is in the same situation. We need a world, a new man, a new woman, a new child who has intelligence, not to imitate, not to deceive, but stand on his own with powers and integrity, even if it means that he will be condemned by the whole world, it does not matter. What ultimately matters is that you have your own face. In other words, we practice something impracticable and express something inexpressible. Remember it, that when you are watering the rose bush, remember that its beauty, its flowers, its greenness is so profound, but it is inexpressible. Never forget that this experience of beauty is as inexpressible as the experience of your own self. If you just watch out, you will find in your life, in each moment, things which are inexpressible. You have just become accustomed. Your becoming accustomed is just a forgetfulness. Socrates remembered at the last moment of his life that I don't know anything. Let it be remembered by the coming generations that I don't know. And he was proclaimed by the oracle of Delphi that he is the wisest man in the whole world. The people who have heard the oracle went to Socrates with great joy to tell him what the oracle has said. Socrates said, "Just please go and tell the oracle that at this time the oracle has been wrong. As far as I know nothing." The people were sad. They went back to the Delphi, told the oracle what Socrates said. He says, "I don't know anything at all." And you call him the wisest man in the world. And the oracle laughed. He said, "Because of this, I call him the wisest man of the world. Because he has come to the point where one knows that one knows nothing." Only in this space blossoms your potentiality to its totality. It is not knowledge, It is so deep that you can call it a heartbeat, or perhaps more deeper, you can call it the heartbeat of the universe itself, but you cannot call it knowledge. And there is no way to express it. If you can remember this in everyday affair, do you think you know your child? Have you ever thought about it, that your child has come through you, but he is a mystery coming from the beyond? You cannot possess him. You can take care of this mysterious expression of life. You can love, but you cannot condition. You cannot take him to the church or to the synagogue or to the temple to start the conditioning process which destroys his innocence and takes away his authenticity. I have heard about a rabbi and a bishop. Both lived in front of each other and both were very competitive. They had to be to convince to their congregation that who is great. One day suddenly the rabbi looked over the fence and what he saw he could not believe. The bishop was pouring water on a kettle. He said, "What are you doing?" The bishop said, "I am giving the Christian ceremony to my new kettle. Baptism. You don't know about these things." The rabbi was very humiliated. Next day, he found a Rolls Royce. It was a question not only of himself, but of his religion. And when the bishop was in his garden, he came out with a garden scissor and started cutting the exhaust pipe, and the bishop was shocked. He said, "What are you doing? A new Rolls Royce and you are destroying it." He said, "You don't understand these things. This is called circumcision. Now from onwards this Rolls Royce is Jewish." But that's what we are doing even to human beings. We don't allow a child to be himself. And that is causing the whole misery in the world, that nobody is himself. Everybody is imitating somebody else. Everybody has become a carbon copy of somebody else. Everybody is almost a broken record used for centuries. Nobody has the newness, freshness, one's own originality. Remember when you see a child that he is as inexpressible as you. When you see a pine tree, don't forget it. This is what Dzogchen means practicing real religion, remembering in every action, thought, silence, always that it is inexpressible, it is mysterious, that we are living in a miracle world. All our explanations are just consolations. Nothing is explained, neither by science nor by religion. For thousands of years, religion tried to befool people by giving them explanations about the creation of the world, about God, how He created the world in 6 days, how He has taken away the paradise of man and woman. And unless you are very torturous towards yourself, you will never be allowed into the garden back. And people believed it. People have lived according to it. Different religions have been propagating different superstitions. Now, science has come to take the place of religion slowly, slowly. But do you know that every scientific explanation is momentary? What it says today, it may not say tomorrow. Because every research goes on deeper, and old explanations become out of date. Old medicines which were thought to be helping people are found that they were harming people. But as long as the superstition continued, everybody believed, even the doctors believed. And this is true about what they believe even today. Because tomorrow it may not be the same. Now we are full of scientific superstitions. Science has not changed man's being, just as religion has failed, science has failed to remind him that everything is an immense mystery. The very effort to find an explanation is wrong. just love it, live it, dance it. Don't waste your time in finding explanations. This is Zen attitude. Each day's life should be esteemed. Do you ever esteem your life? The body should be respected. Do you respect your body? It serves you for 70 years without any salary, without going on a strike, without taking a morcha, a procession against you. But you have not even thought that some respect is due, that your body needs to be valued. So if we can really get the Buddhist function even in a day, such a single day can be said to be more valuable than countless idle lives. That's why I say every night these few moments are the most valuable moments in your life. And every evening when so many living Buddhas gather here, this place becomes the most important in the whole world, a spiritual capital of the world, because nowhere so many people are meditating together. Nowhere so many people are digging so deep that they can find the very life source, the eternity, the deathlessness. Dozen is right, even if we can live one day, just 24 hours, as a Buddha, reminding ourselves continuously that each of our action should reflect a Buddha. That single day becomes the most precious than thousands of lives. And if you can do it in one day, who is preventing you to do it every day? If you can be here a Buddha, why you cannot be a Buddha anywhere else? It is simply a question of being alert, respectful of existence, loving, utterly contented with the flowers, with the birds, with the trees, with the stars. Such a tremendous universe is given to you. And you never pay any attention to it. You never give any gratitude. The whole beauty of existence is available to you, and you are reading a third-rate yellow newspaper. which you have been reading from the morning, not having anything else to do, you start reading again. It happened that a man used to live in front of my house, who was retired, senile, and everybody thought him mad, except me. He was greatly friendly towards me. His only love affair was newspaper, and because many newspapers used to come to me, he will come every morning, sometimes even when I am not awake, he will knock, and I will give him anything, 10-year-old magazine, and he will say, thank you. I was amazed. I asked him, you know perfectly well that this magazine is 10 years old. He said, what does it matter? To me, it is new. I have not read it before. People think me mad. Do you think I am mad? I said, certainly not. Your argument is absolutely right, because for you it is not 10 years old, it is fresh, because you have not read it. But he reminded me that his whole concern was newspapers. In a day he will come 2-3 times to ask me, has anything new come? The evening newspaper. I asked him that, is the newspaper the whole world? He said, what else to do? I am retired from my work. People think I am mad, so I don't have any society. People avoid me. You are the only person who talk with me, who respect me, who accept me as a human being. And what else is there? I am waiting only for death. The day he said to me that I am only waiting for death, I started to think about everyone. What you are doing? Somebody is running a business. Somebody is accumulating money, somebody is becoming more powerful in politics. But do you understand that you are moving towards death? Each moment, death is coming closer and closer. And have you gathered anything that you will be able to take with you when you die? Except meditation, you cannot take anything, any of your possessions with you. All that is out of you will be left, only the inner flame. If you have found it, if you have become conscious of it, then there is no death for you. But if you are not conscious of it, you will think also as others are thinking that you are dead. It is simply a question of thinking. If you know exactly yourself, you are never dead. But you never go inwards. You have simply forgotten that there is an immense space waiting for you. And that is your real home. All our efforts here in this Buddha Hall are efforts to make you acquainted again with your real home, which will not be burned on a funeral pyre, which will remain till eternity in different forms or in formlessness. That is your Buddhahood. But to make it a constant remembrance, you have to work out a certain discipline. And the discipline is simple, that remember always everything is a miracle. Everything is inexpressible. And this whole world is so mysterious that you don't have to read detective novels. And you don't have to go to see movies. If you can understand this silence, you would love to find spaces where you can be silent again and again. If you can touch the waters of life within you, you would love in your whole day, whenever you can find just a moment, sipping the tea, you would like to look in whether those waters of life are still flowing. One becomes accustomed slowly, slowly of the eternity of oneself. But whether you know it or not, it is there. Such a single day is too precious a treasure to be compared with a fine jewel. Ancient wise persons held it dearer than their body and life. We must think quietly that a fine jewel and a rare gem, though lost, may be acquired again, but that a single day in 100 years of life, once lost, never returns. Remember that not a single moment will come again back in your hands. That which is gone forever. Take out the whole juice of every moment, because the moment will be gone. But the juice the experience, the mystery, the fragrance of it will surround you. And every day it will become deeper and deeper, thicker and thicker. And a day will come, you will not be afraid to declare that you are a Buddha. It will come autonomously, spontaneously, a sudden lightning, and you will say, my God, what I have been doing up to now. I am a Buddha. And this whole universe is my home. As much as I need it, it needs me too. We are part of one tremendous mystery. No matter how skillful we may be, it is impossible to bring back even a single day of the past. No history book says that it is possible. Why does time deprive us of our training daily and lifelong? Why has time a grudge against us? It is unfortunately because we have never neglected our practice. Without looking forward to tomorrow, every moment, you must think only of this body and this hour, because tomorrow is difficult and unfixed. And difficult to know, you must think of following the way while you live today. In fact, the tomorrow is not certain. It may come, it may not come. Those who know, they have even said that tomorrow never comes. What comes is always today. So do whatever you want to do this moment. Catch hold of your life source, because tomorrow it may be too late. It is already late. You must concentrate on Zen practice without wasting time, thinking that there is only this day and this hour. After that, it becomes truly easy. You must forget about the good and the bad of your nature, the strength or weakness of your power. Just accept as you are and enjoy and relish and sing and dance as you are. Acceptance is a gratitude towards existence. Anything that you don't accept means you are blaming existence. In all your prayers and in your prayer houses, what you are doing, you are asking God, just like a beggar, give me this, give me that. You don't trust existence you demand. Demanding is not a quality of religious consciousness. Hence, the real religion has no way of praying. It only lives, and lives in such a way that the very life becomes a gratitude. A haiku by Chosu. The moon in the water, broken and broken again, still it is there. It is almost unbelievable how Zen poets have said things no other language has been able to rise to such heights. What Chosu is saying, the moon in the water, broken and broken again, because each time a wind comes, a wave comes, the moon is broken in thousand pieces. But again, the lake becomes silent, and all the broken pieces all over the lake start gathering again, because it is a reflection. The moon is never broken, it is only the reflection that is broken. And because the moon is never broken, it does not matter that its reflection is broken 1,000 times. All our bodies, all our minds, all our lives are nothing but reflections of the real moon. Broken 1,000 times, still in the innermost core of your being, the moon is as full and as perfect as ever. Isa wrote, the youngest nightingale that can rejoice calls to its parents in a yellow voice. Now you are not to be worried about what is said. These words are very indicative. Perhaps Isa must be in deep meditation, and he heard the nightingale rejoicing and calling to its parents in a yellow voice. He is not saying anything about the nightingale, he is saying about his silence. When you are in silence and a cuckoo from the bamboos starts singing, it deepens your silence. And another poet, whatever we bear, we look beautiful when moon viewing. Moon certainly makes everything beautiful. In a full moon night, You see all around beauty is spread even to ordinary plants. Ordinary flowers are shining with a joy. Small puddles of water are reflecting the full moon with as much depth as the greatest ocean. So it does not matter which body you have, man or woman, bird or animal, whether you are poor or rich, in a silent space just watching the moon, and you are filled with tremendous beauty. That beauty arises in your innermost world. The moon simply triggers it. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, often images arise of their own accord during discourse and the death phase of the meditation and make whatever is happening stronger and more vivid. Can visualization help? Or because it is merely imagination, it is useless?" Manisha, it is absolutely useless. No ripple has to be allowed. The silence has to be absolutely pure. Any visualization will be a disturbance. Any thought will distract you from your being. So I am saying categorically, everything is useless while you are meditating. Meditation is taking you into a different direction, not of utility, but of existence. And all your visualization will be of the world that you know. You cannot visualize something that you don't know. And you don't know your own self. And you don't know the inner sky. You cannot visualize. And once you know it, there is no need to visualize. It is in your hands. You are no more poor. You have become the richest person in the world, having nothing. Meditation, perhaps, is the only alchemy that can transform a beggar into an emperor. Before you become emperors, before you become the Buddhas again tonight, You must be remembering a little bit of yesterday. You know the path. Every day you have to go a little further, a little more deeper. Few laughs to make you light, to make you non-serious. I'm being blamed all over the world in articles that I am a non-serious man. They think they are condemning me. This is a compliment. They don't understand that to me seriousness is sickness, and to be non-serious, to be playful, to take everything as a fun. Is, according to me, the only authentic religiousness. Militant money butt is an extremely rich and an extremely frustrated woman. She is especially irritable today because it has been weeks since her husband or her chauffeur or her stable boy or anybody has made love to her, deciding that she needs to move her energy. She calls her butler, James, upstairs to draw her a hot bath. James knocks quietly and then enters her room. Millie turns to him slowly and says, "James, please take my dress off." "Yes, madam," says the butler, looking a bit shy. "Now, James," says Millie, "please take my bra off." "Yes, madam," says the soft butler. "And now, James," she says with fire in her eyes, "please take my panties off." Then, stepping up close to him, she orders, "James, next time I catch you wearing my clothes, you will be fired." Jablonski gets married but does not know what to do with his bride on the wedding night. So the next day he goes to ask advice from Dr. Gasbag. "It is easy," says Gasbag, and takes Jablonski to the window. He points to two dogs screwing out in the street and says, "You do it just like that." A week later, Jablonski comes back. "Well," asks the doctor, "how did it go?" "Great, doc," says Jablonski proudly. "It was simple, no big deal at all. The only problem is getting my wife out into the street. Olga and Kovalevsky are living in an LA apartment. When a young couple moves in upstairs, soon every night the bullocks hear the noise, she, boom, she, boom, coming from the floor above. Olga is intrigued by the noise and one day asks the young woman what it is. "Ah, that," replies the woman, "we have had a slide installed in our bedroom. I lie at the bottom of it with my legs apart, and my husband slides down, see, boom." A few days pass, and the young woman does not see the Kovalevskys around. She finds out the Olga in hospital, so she goes to visit her. "What happened to you?" she asks. "It is a sad story," replies Olga. "My husband and I also had a slide installed in our bedroom, but we only got to try it once. Now I have had 3 operations and there is still can't find Kovalevsky." Kransky is going to join the army, so he goes to visit his girlfriend Dilda to say goodbye. "Ah, darling," cries Dilda, "I don't have a picture of you." So Kransky looks in his pockets and all he has is a photo of himself standing naked. So he cuts the picture in two and gives her the top half. Next he goes to visit his old grandmother to say goodbye. "Ah, dear boy," says his granny, "you can't live without giving me a picture of you." Kransky does not know what to do, but remembering that his granny is half blind, he gives her the bottom half of the picture. She looks at it with delight and says, "Just like your grandfather." God rest his soul, a nice bushy beard and his necktie always hanging to one side.